Good morning. Welcome everyone to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we want to encourage everyone to sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors. And if you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you. And we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift, which Lana will bring to you where you're seated. If you'll simply raise your hand, let us know where you're seated. Any first-time visitors, welcome. Thank you for being here this morning. Awesome. If anybody would like some further information about our congregation and our ministries, there's a information page inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in this morning's service. You've already heard her, but please join me in welcoming Lenora Remmert, who begins her service this morning. There's some information about her inside the bulletin announcements page. I had the privilege of visiting with her several times throughout this past week or two. And please, if you get a chance, come up after the service and introduce yourself to Lenora and welcome her into our church family. Today, after our service today, please join us for the March potluck, which will be at noon in the fellowship hall. And then for board members, please remember that we have our March board meeting right after the potluck up in the fellowship hall. Everyone's welcome to the third Lenten supper and meditation this coming Wednesday, March 7th at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. There'll be a light supper provided by the Koinonia Sunday School class, followed by a brief meditation centered on this week's Sunday morning message. And we will be finished before choir and Bible study at 7. In your bulletin, there's a flyer for the receiving of donations for the Flowering of the Cross, which will be Easter Sunday this year. Easter falls on April 1st, and that will be at both services, the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock service. Please fill out the information and make out a check to Berry Christian Church. And in the memo line, if you would put the words Flowering of the Cross, and then you can place that in the offering plate or bring donations for the flowers to the church office during any weekday. Ladies, please check out the information for the Disciple Women's Spring Retreat scheduled for this coming weekend, March 9th and 10th at the Tall Oaks Camp out by Bonner Springs. And Joy has a word about the Ladies' Spring Tea. Joy.
We are. Does anybody know what time it is? It's tea time. Yes, ladies, Saturday, April 14th at 11:30, we are having our ladies' spring tea, and all the ladies of the church and your friends, relatives, neighbors, daughters, granddaughters, any female that you know is invited to attend. We are really having fun planning the event. We've got lots of goodies to eat. We've got scones and sandwiches and cookies and a couple different kinds of teas that you can have. And it's just, we've got a real good speaker we're going to have. So it will be a fun event. And everybody is invited, female only. Sorry. But if any lady would like to host a table or co-host a table, let us know, because all you have to do is just decorate it any way you like. If you do not have teacups or a teapot that you have that you can share, the church has dishes and stuff you can borrow. Or if you simply have one or more teapots that you would like to share at the event, we would love to have those. It's fun to see all the different kinds of teapots and hear the story or hear the history behind some of them. So please think about coming. You've gotten an invitation in your bulletin this morning. There's more on the table in the narthex. So grab several and give them to your friends and relatives. And please plan on coming. It will be a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Klaus has a minute for mission to share with us. Klaus, thank you.
Morning, everybody. So this morning, I'd like to discuss with you a little bit about the origins of April Fool's Day. Some historians have expressed the belief of these origins of April Fool's go back to the Genesis flood narrative. Actually, in London, on March 13th, 1769, in an article in the Public Advertiser, it was printed that the mistake of Noah sending the dove out of the ark before the water had abated was on the first day of April. So the reason I'm speaking today of April Fool's Day is because, as everybody knows, Easter is on April Fool's Day. So this means that the annual egg hunt will be on Palm Sunday, the 25th of March at 3 p.m. All children are invited from 0 to 5th grade, and there will be a story time, cookie decorations, and the hunting of Easter eggs. Parents, please bring your cameras so you can take pictures, and we are currently collecting the candy for the Easter egg hunt, so please place your individual wrapped candy in the basket up in the foyer. Also, we will need to fill these eggs, so on March 22nd at 6 p.m., they're going to fill them in the upper room. Also, just as an FYI, we did deliver the paper towels to the Hope House, and they were excited to receive them. They collected 20 packets of diaper wipes, 79 rolls of paper towels, and 289 rolls of TP. So finally, speaking of TP, the bean dinner for the Stanley Fellowship Fund collected $540 for the food pantry. So I'd like to thank everyone for your continued generosity, and God bless.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard our cries for mercy. Our hearts trust in him, and he helps us. Our hearts leap for joy, and with our songs we praise him. Let us sing hymn number 86, stanzas 1 and 3.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not my compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. Oh, I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
May we bow in prayer. O Lord, we come to you in this time of quiet gathering, ever thankful that you lovingly lead us beside still waters. Sometimes we feel our lives are in turmoil and confusion, and we long to lie down in green pastures. We come needing to be restored, yet we confess that we try more to lead than we allow ourselves to be led. Restore our trust and faith, O God, as you restore our souls. Lead us in your ways. Give us clarity of vision to follow your ways and not fall to the ways of the world. And we pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit be present with us as we begin our worship this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated, folks. This is the time of our service when we typically invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon. But we're going to shake things up just a little bit today and have the children gather in the back of the church, back in the entryway for the children's sermon, as the rest of us sing Strong, Gentle Children from page 511.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful. gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. Okay, Jesus, you can get up. He got real comfortable. Here you go. Now then, you know what we just did? We just acted out Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. That's why you all have palms, okay? You were waving them and saying Jesus and having a good time. And basically, in the Old Testament, it talks about Israel. Behold, your king comes riding on a donkey, okay? And in Israel, the kings would ride on white donkeys, we find in Judges. And so that was a sign of authority. Not a white horse, but instead a white donkey or mule was what the king would ride on, because that was his sign of authority. And so we were worshiping Jesus as being the king, just like they did there on Palm Sunday, proclaiming Jesus as king. Well, the Pharisees didn't like that very much, did they? Instead, they said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Make them stop." But you know what Jesus said? He said, if they would stop, the rocks and stones themselves would begin to sing and to be proclaiming the majesty of God. And you know, sometimes as we look out on the earth, there are certain pictures that we see as we walk out the door. Like there on a day that it has snowed and there's 6 or 12 inches out there, and we're going, oh, we gotta shovel it. But it is so beautiful. So beautiful, isn't it? It's all white. There's nothing dirty or gray or anything like that. Instead, it reminds us that though our sins be as scarlet, we are washed as white as snow. God's majesty being proclaimed in nature. And so this morning, we have proclaimed Jesus as king. Okay, Jesus, did you feel like a king?
Yeah.
All right. That's great, okay? Now, I got a different answer first service, but anyway. But we proclaim Jesus as king. Now, later in the week and later in the month, and I'm going to talk to you guys during Sunday school next Sunday about what we're going to do on the last Sunday of March. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Oh, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we just come to you now. Thank you for this day. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for your Son, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank thee, Father, for his love, for his giving us eternal life with you. Be with us and be with these little ones, Lord, as they continue to proclaim Jesus is the King of Kings. In his blessed name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, a number of people to lift up. First of all, we want to mention that Dorothy Harris is in hospice care at North Kansas City Hospital. She is the mother of Penny Green, who normally attends the 8:30 service. We are delighted that Wren and Katie are here with Mateo. God bless you all. Pleasure to see you all. And I think Katie's mother, is it Mary, and your sister Amy are here as well, am I correct? I'm sorry? Okay, well, God bless y'all. We're delighted y'all are here this morning. Pleasure to see you. That's what? Yes, it's Mateo's first time to be here in worship. We're just delighted to see you all. So we look forward to seeing you after the service. We want to mention that our sympathies extended to Judy Settles and her family. Judy, we're glad that you and Bob are here. The flowers here to my right are from the funeral service for Judy's mother, Ruby, which took place in Marceline yesterday. So we're glad you all could be in worship with us this morning. We want to also remember that David Booth continues to be at the Veterans Home in Cameron. Stopped by to see him yesterday on the way back to Kansas City, and he was really in good spirits yesterday and health-wise, seeing a really good return after dealing with the pneumonia. So we're encouraged by that. Please remember Roger and Barbara Blakely and Doris O'Neill's brother, Gary Crane. We continue to remember Jerry Donahue's niece, Angel Earhart, and Gwen Staffney's sister, Susan, and certainly others who've been in our prayers now for some time. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, assurance is what we gain as we assemble in your house for worship this Lord's day, as we strive to keep our hearts and minds focused on your living presence. For as certainly as an archer must train his eye on the target and calm every muscle to carefully position his bow and arrow to hit the bullseye, so also we must discipline our consciousness to fend off the noise of daily concerns and stay focused on your Spirit's guidance and position our hearts and minds to experience the assurance of your living presence. For as Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that you, O God, give us not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. We know from Jesus' words to his disciples in John chapter 16 that the Spirit of truth came upon them at his departure to guide them in truth and to assure them as to what was to come. Thus, as we step forward in our daily living, we too can experience the same measure of assurance through your Holy Spirit's guidance. For the words you shared with Joshua are words that still ring true for us today. To be strong and to be courageous, to obey the law, and to not turn away to the left or to the right, or to be distracted so that we may be successful wherever we go. That for us, we need to keep the book of the law always on our lips and to meditate on it day and night, so that we may be careful to do everything written in it, and therefore to be prosperous and successful. It is with these words of assurance, O God, that we journey forward with great confidence as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Joy has our scripture reading this morning. Thank you, Joy.
This morning's scripture reading is from Ephesians 6, verse 16, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 1070. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The second reading is from Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 1093. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize in our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Thank you.
One of the ways we become familiar with one another is to share the fellowship of mealtimes. In conversations, we tell about our past, the events of the day, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations. In time, we can learn a great deal about one another. In our journey of faith, it is in reading the Gospels, comprehending the motivations of our Lord, that we become familiar with God's intentions toward humanity, shared through His Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we gather at the Lord's table, may we envision sharing time with our Lord Jesus, a time of meditation, in conversation with Jesus, telling of our past, the events of the day, our hopes, and our aspirations, as we seek out God's will and intentions for ourselves in service. In John chapter 10, beginning with the 14th verse, Jesus states, "I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep, and they know me." Our communion hymn this morning is number 67. We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 6 of "O God, our help in ages past."
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now with grateful hearts as we partake of this bread and this wine that reminds us each week of the suffering and the steadfast love that your Son Jesus Christ had for us as he lived life, went through all the struggles we do, and understands and loves us regardless. We just thank you for that unending gift of love that you sent through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. In 1 John, the third chapter, the text says, if a person sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against his brother, how can he claim that he loves God? My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love that shows itself in action. With these thoughts in mind, we receive our tithes and offerings as Wanda leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask for you to guide us every day in the decisions we make and guide us to do our best for you. We ask for you to use our offering to do your glorious work. Bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for all of our many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We are delighted that Lenora is with us today. Lenora, God bless you. Thank you so much for being present with us. And Lenora's husband, Ken, is also here in the sanctuary. Ken, God bless you. We're so delighted that you both are here this morning. God bless you. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we are privileged to again be in your house and to be empowered by your word as it guides and directs and indeed protects us through the shield of faith. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. You know, when I was a child playing outside, which we did a lot back then, I thought I was invincible when I could have a big old shield to help me out. Now, growing up in the time period that I did, there was a rather convenient item that you could usually acquire to be a good shield when you were battling against the rocks and the dirt clods of your neighborhood buddies. Anybody know what that was? A trash can lid, that's right. You know, kids don't have that anymore, but by golly, in our time period, we could have a big old trash can lid and hang on to that thing, and boy, it would really dodge the rocks and the dirt clods. But You know, what I noticed as a kid is that the best garbage can lid that you could get for a shield was actually one that had been run over by the garbage trucks a few times. Because that way it was completely flat. Because what good is a shield that's concave the wrong way? You know, it was harder to maneuver that way. But boy, if it was flat, you know, it worked out really well. You know, it didn't help the cans very much, but it was a great shield. But you know the one thing about having that round shield, kind of like Captain America, is that the problem is it only protects about right here. And we've already understood that the breastplate protects the heart and the core, right? We've already been talking about that. Well, what about our legs and our feet and our head? Well, what you have to understand is that the shield that the Roman soldiers had, that the apostle is talking about here in today's message, this shield was quite different. It wasn't just some round cylindrical shape. Their shield was a rectangle, and it would go about almost to the height of the soldier's head and go almost down to the soldier's feet and about the width of the soldier himself. Now, you know, the Romans were smart back in that time period, though, because that wasn't just some piece of flat material. It was actually concaved, more of a curved shape, so that when an arrow or a spear came their way, or maybe a big old rock or some other kind of projectile, the curved surface would actually deflect whatever was about to hit the shield. Whereas when it's flat, it's just kind of a brunt force right there, you know, hitting you straight on. You know, I think that the guys who invented the Humvee, they should have learned that. They should have done a little reading about the Romans from centuries gone by before they decided to make the Humvee. You remember the original ones? Flat bottoms. What good was that? You know, we finally got the Humvees with the V-shaped bottom again, so it deflects the force. In addition to it being curved, there was also a rather large bulging kind of cylindrical shape in the center of that shield, kind of like a battering ram, so that the soldier could take it and move forward, and the opposing soldier would get the brunt end force of that kind of a battering ram thing first, and that would knock that other soldier over. So you can see there was a lot of ingenious concepts put into this shield. Additionally, when those shields were put together side to side, or if they were raised up over their heads side to side and end to end, they'd kind of like make a good sheet metal covering. And it not only deflect the hail, it would deflect the arrows and the flaming arrows and whatever else came their way, you see. Pretty ingenious. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul uses a shield as an image for faith in God. Now, what I haven't quite figured out, though, as I've continued this study, is why is it that the Apostle didn't talk about the shield first? Because we know this shield is the first line of defense before any of this other armor we've been talking about is even put to use. It's right up there, right out front. Well, I have often wondered, well, maybe it's because he didn't have the ability to cut and paste on his computer like we do today. And so he'd already written some of it, and he just couldn't get to the other part. You know, couldn't move it quick enough. You remember when you used to write term papers when you had to put real paper in a real typewriter? There was a lot of times that you wouldn't edit that over again because you'd have to start the page all over. So who knows? But really, this is our first line of defense, this shield. And Paul tells us that shield is what? It's our faith. But what is faith? We know that it is essentially a meaningful relationship with God, first and foremost. There's no such thing as having too little faith or too much faith. We just have faith when we desire to have a relationship with God. Now then, what we need to do, however, is to have our faith be informed by the knowledge of God through Scripture, and then we have to strengthen our faith through our daily prayer walk, and then we also have to renew our faith by the relationships that we share with brothers and sisters in Christ. And by doing all of those things on a routine basis, we are able to take up this shield, and it will help to protect us from the barbs of satanic forces as we journey through life. Again, we have to take it up. What good is a shield if it's just lying on the ground? What good is it if we're just dragging it along by our side? We've got to take it up, and we've got to put it into a defensive posture before it can do us any good. And we know from our scripture that time and time again, people of the Bible use their faith as a defensive shield. On Wednesday, see, I'm making a plug for our Lenten program on Wednesday night. But last Wednesday, we talked about Jesus, didn't we? About how Jesus took up his shield of faith. When he was there in the wilderness experience, Satan was tempting him to divert his direction from God and to worship only him. And repeatedly, Jesus uses the Word of God as a way of creating that defensive posture against the evil ways and temptations that Satan was trying to get him to pursue. Also, as we look at the Old Testament, we have other examples where people took up their shield of faith, and their faithfulness in God is what saved them. Remember Daniel chapter 3? We have the story of the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. He made an edict that all of his subjects were to bow down and worship a 90-foot golden statue. Verse 6 says that if anyone does not bow down and worship, will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. And I've often wondered if that was the only thing that furnace did, or maybe it heated up the... You think it heated up the empire or something? I mean, that all they did was burn up people in it? Terrible. Gee. But anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, according to their Hebrew tradition, they were to worship no other god but the one true God of the Hebrew faith. They refused to bow down to a graven image. And so with verse 16, they say to the king, "Your Majesty, we will not try to defend ourselves. If the God whom we serve is able to save us from the blazing furnace and from your power, then he will. But even if he doesn't, your majesty, may be sure that we will not worship your God, and we will not bow down to the gold statue that you've set up." And of course, you know how the story goes. Not only are they saved, but Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fiery furnace. He sees four people there. Wow, an angel had been brought forth to aid the men in the midst of this dilemma. And not only are they saved, but they are even given higher positions in the authority of the empire of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. On a more pragmatic side of things, we see that Naomi, Oprah, and Ruth were facing utter poverty, starvation, as their livelihood vanishes with the death of Naomi's husband and sons. Naomi says to Ruth and Orpah in Ruth chapter 1, "You must go back, my daughters. Why do you want to come with me? Go back home, for I am too old to get married again. The Lord has turned against me. I feel very sorry for you." In other words, it's bad enough for me, but look, if you hang around me, it's going to get even worse. I feel for you in this dilemma we're in. And yet Ruth, who was a Moabite, she chooses to take up this shield, and her shield is what? It is the adopted faith of the Hebrew people. And Ruth says, "Don't ask me to leave you. Let me go with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And wherever you die, I'll die, and that is where I'll be buried. May the Lord's worst punishment come upon me if I let anything but death separate me from you." And of course, as we know how the story goes, we know that Ruth is rewarded for her willingness to take up the shield of her faith as she marries Boaz, and she becomes the great-grandmother of King David, from whom the lineage of Jesus is established. Now, in our day and time, it's easy to allow the stings of Satan's arrows and spears permeate our spiritual existence. Those piercings take the form of doubt, worry, excessive grief, helplessness, as we are pelted by the pebbles, the stones, and the rocks of our daily troubles or uncertainties or challenges. There is the point where we need to face up to what is challenging us. Face it head on. Remember, Wednesday, I was telling you about the naturalist Craig Childs, as he was kind of doing research on mountain lions in the western part of the U.S. Here, one of them starts approaching him. What does he do? Does he turn and run? No, if he does, he knows he's in trouble. That lion, mountain lion's much faster, and as he turned his back to him, that mountain lion would take him down and kill him, right? He knew he had to face the mountain lion eye to eye, stare him down, not move, keep his ground. And that's what saved his life. So it is for you and I. When we are faced with a number of challenges that come our way, we've got to take up our shield. We've got to hold it in front of us as the first line of defense. And the more we know about the Word of God that can inform us about how to make wise decisions, to do what is ethically correct, the more we are in the spirit of prayer, the more the Spirit of God can work in our lives and give us guidance. And the more we lean on the support that we have with other brothers and sisters in Christ, the more we can feel that we're not alone, but we got all our shields together, side by side, end to end, to step forward and to defeat the enemy. And therefore, as the sign says out front, we are defended in faith. The text, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, Paul says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all. He didn't say some of them. He said all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so where are you on this journey today? Have you taken up your shield of faith? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you need a church home? Maybe these are decisions that you need to make today. As I extend the invitation to you, and as we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's number 576, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Let us sing all stanzas, please. Number 576, please. Please stand.
To thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. Impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a I dread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day. wife sorrow sears away. No, let me ever stray from thee aside.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We do want to remind you, right after the service, we have a potluck lunch for the month of March in the fellowship hall directly below us. Hope you'll be able to stay and share in that time of fellowship with us. Board members, remember, right after the lunch, we do have our March board meeting in the upper room. Shouldn't be a long meeting, but your attendance is most appreciated. One other thing I need to lift up is that tomorrow morning I need to report for jury duty. So depending upon where that journey takes me will depend upon whether or not I'm here this week. So we'll get the word out as that goes on. But certainly tomorrow morning, I'm not available. May we bow our heads for prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house as we take up our shield of faith. We know that we can indeed experience your great sense of assurance and renewal in all things. It is in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.